Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the latest leaks from inside the secret Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal negotiations in Utah last November that were provided by WikiLeaks. Ilana Solomon, the director of the Responsible Trade Program at the Sierra Club, joins us to discuss the leaked TPP draft treaty chapter on the environment that indicates a weakening of environmental protections in exchange for increased trade among the parties in the negotiations: the United States, Japan, Mexico, Canada, Australia, Malaysia, Chile, Singapore, Peru, Vietnam, New Zealand, and Brunei. The rising Asian Pacific power, China, the world's fastest growing and second most powerful economy, is excluded from the deal. Then from This Company Town, we will assess this year's just announced Academy Awards nominations. One of the world's leading analysts on popular culture, media, and their connection to everyday life, Toby Miller, joins us to discuss this year's nominees in terms of their political content and how much they capture the current political zeitgeist. The most obvious at the top of the list with 10 nominations is American Hustle, which is based on the FBI abscam sting that bagged a bunch of crooked politicians. And with 6 nominations, Nebraska, a searing look at the fading and forlorn American dream in rural red state America. Then finally, we'll examine the paradox of the Iranian hardliners and hawks in a symbiotic alliance with the pro-war Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, trying to scuttle the diplomatic opening with the just-concluded nuclear deal between the P5 plus one and Iran. Trita Parsi, the co-founder and president of the National Iranian American Council and author of A Single Roll of the Dice, Obama's Diplomacy with Iran, joins us to discuss his article at Roll Call, Khamenei's Little Helpers in the Senate, and the president's impassioned plea to Democratic senators Wednesday evening in the White House not to sabotage his deal with Iran. Joining us now is Ilana Solomon, who's the director of the Responsible Trade Program at the Sierra Club, where she works to create public support for trade and investment rules to protect the environment and to shed light on the environmental threats posed by our current global trading system. Previously, she was a senior policy analyst with ActionAid USA. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ilana Solomon.
Thank you very much for having me, Ian.
And on Wednesday, WikiLeaks published a leaked draft of the environmental part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement that was negotiated, or at least the latest round were held in Salt Lake City, Utah, from November the 19th to the 24th. And this leak comes from that particular meeting, which, of course, is very secretive. But clearly somebody on the inside has been leaking stuff profusely to WikiLeaks. So what's your sense of what's going on here in the drama behind the scenes?
Great. That's a great question. Well, the first thing I would say is that we know very little about what's going on behind the scenes. As you noted, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement has been conducted in near complete secrecy. The negotiations have been going on for nearly 4 years now, and yet not a single word of draft text has intentionally been released by the governments. Not even, for example, U.S. government proposals are available to the public. So it's really tragic that we have to rely on WikiLeaks in order to provide the information that we need to know in order to understand what is going on. So the environment chapter text that leaked was the third leak that we've seen of a TPP chapter. And I think what's most notable is to compare how weak the environment chapter is as compared to the other two chapters, which protect corporate interests, which are very strong, legally enforceable, binding, that don't resemble at all the incredibly weak, sort of toothless language in the environment chapter.
And apparently somebody from either the United States, Japan, Mexico, Canada, Australia, Malaysia, Chile, Singapore, Peru, Vietnam, New Zealand, and Brunei, which are the countries involved in this new deal, is leaking this material to WikiLeaks, or perhaps more than one person's doing it. But my understanding of the TPP, just in broad strokes, is it's a part of President Obama's pivot to Asia. And in many ways, China's absence from the TPP seems to be pretty significant. And it feels in many ways that this is a sort of pact to exclude China as a growing global hegemon. Is that the way you see it?
So, you know, the United States has sort of talked out of both sides of its mouth on this issue. On the one hand, it's very clear that this is a pivot to Asia. That's what President Obama has stated, and some can certainly view it as sort of a policy to isolate China. And on the other hand, for example, last year, the United States Trade Representative Ron Kirk stated that he would like nothing more than to have China join the TPP. So, you know, clearly China is one of the biggest and most notable actors that is not currently in the agreement, although there was some rumor and speculation that it may join the agreement at some future time. And I think what's really important here is, again, right now the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is between 12 countries, but it's known as what's called a docking station, so that any country in the Pacific Rim or potentially beyond could jump aboard and sign on to the TPP at nearly any time. So that certainly could include China, and a number of other countries have expressed interest as well. So this is just a growing, enormous trade pact, and its provisions on the environment, jobs, our economy, health, all are greatly impacted in this pact.
Well, I bring up China because this environmental chapter that was leaked by WikiLeaks, or to WikiLeaks, does cover issues like overfishing, trade of wool products, wildlife crime, and illegal logging. And my understanding is that the most prolific illegal loggers in the world are connected to the Chinese military, who, of course, have all kinds of proprietary business interests. You know, they sneak up river into Papua New Guinea that has a weak government, and a whole grove of ancient trees disappear in a day, and they're taken out by barge, and nobody knows about it until they see this great scar on the landscape. And this apparently goes on a routine basis. So that's why I'm wondering, if you're going to address environmental plunder, why not engage the biggest actor in environmental plunder?
Well, I think the real question is whether the TPP environment chapter is really going to contain environmental destruction. I mean, many of the countries in the TPP already, even without China, are still major importers and exporters of illegally harvested timber, wildlife, fish, and ostensibly the idea behind the environment chapter is to contain some of the damage that more trade could cause on the environment. The problem, though, as we've seen from this leaked text, is that the current status of the chapter is completely unacceptable and doesn't at all address the issues of, you know, forest depletion, wildlife trade, unsustainable fisheries management, because it lacks any enforcement mechanism. There's no real obligations for countries to uphold any of the commitments in the chapter, and it's full of really weak language and generalities. So I think the real question is how this environment chapter is going to be significantly strengthened while the countries have sort of a self-imposed deadline to finish the agreement in the next several months.
And again, I'm speaking with Alana Solomon, who's the director of the Responsible Trade Program at the Sierra Club, where she works to create public support for trade and investment rules that protect the environment and to shed light on the environmental threats posed by our current global trading system. Previously, she was senior policy analyst with ActionAid USA. Well, I would think that one of the problems here with getting some kind of consensus would be on the issues involved with climate change. After all, the new Australian Prime Minister is a climate change denier. He called climate change absolute crap. So what's your understanding of what negotiations are going on in that regard? Because, you know, the dynamic in the arguments over climate change, which we saw recently at the UN conference in Warsaw, is between the haves and the have-nots. And the have-nots are saying, you're the guys who put all this stuff up in the atmosphere in the first place, so don't punish us. And apparently Vietnam and Malaysia are concerned about impositions on their burning of fossil fuels. And yet you've got a have country like Australia, which has the worst global warming footprint per capita in the world, whose leader now denies its very existence.
Yes, so the climate change section of the leaked text is one that is in complete disarray, it seems like. First of all, it's full of very weak language. For example, parties, quote, recognize the desirability that trade and climate change policies be mutually supportive. And that's the type of weak language that we see throughout this pact, recognize the desirability or strive to achieve or endeavor to cooperate. So it's already quite a weak section. But the text also reveals that both the United States and Australia, as you mentioned, cannot agree to the article as currently drafted. And my sense is that it's not that they can't agree because it's too weak, but the sense is that they can't agree because it's too strong, which is a pretty sad statement. I would also flag another section, piece of the climate change text that has a very weak, once again, sort of quasi-commitment to have countries phase out subsidies to fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas, but rather than actually requiring countries to eliminate fossil fuels to these polluting industries, instead it just recognizes previous commitments and encourages cooperation on this round. And there's still a host of countries, including Vietnam, Malaysia, Peru, that don't even agree once again to that very weak language.
So what's your sense then of whether or not the drip, drip, drip of these leaks from whoever among the countries that I mentioned in the TPP are leaking this information to WikiLeaks? It is, of course, putting the very fast-track ability of the Obama administration in jeopardy, is it not? More and more Congress people, first of all, they're not happy about the idea that they're cut out of the loop to begin with. And as these leaks come out, as they have done, as you mentioned, this is the third set of leaks. I would think that pressure is building against the White House, is it not?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of frustration, both from the Congress and from members of the public, that they have been, you know, largely excluded from the negotiation process. Members of the public have been completely shut out. Members of Congress have only, like in the very recent past, started to be able to see parts of the agreement. But I think there is incredible frustration mounting and growing that this agreement has been negotiated in such secrecy and that we have to rely on the few leaked texts that are available in order to get real information.
So when do you think the straw will break the camel's back?
It's hard to say exactly. I mean, I think the biggest debate right now and the most important moment right now we have to gain some control over this negotiation process is through a process in the United States called Fast Track. And basically, just last week, there was a piece of legislation introduced in both our House of Representatives and the Senate that would allow the president to continue, if Fast Track were approved, would allow the president to continue negotiating in the executive branch of the agreement, allow the president to sign the TPP, and then hand it to Congress for limited debate, no amendments, and a simple up or down vote. And I think this is going to be really crucial. The Sierra Club strongly opposes Fast Track legislation because we do not believe that Congress should give up its ability to essentially ensure that the contents of trade agreements actually protect the public and the environment. So I think this is going to be a really critical moment, whether Congress gives the president Fast Track authority. And we, as the Sierra Club and many of our allies, are strongly opposing Fast Track and encourage listeners to call their member of Congress right now and urge your member to oppose fast-tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And again, I'm speaking with Alana Solomon, the director of the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program. But I suppose just fundamentally, the question that we should be asking and that should be answered, not that it's likely to happen with these secret negotiations underway, but if the purpose of the TPP and this trade agreement is to foster more trade, how do you increase trade, which by implication means more industrial activity, at the same time decrease environmental destruction? Because they go hand in hand, do they not?
Well, I think that is why the Sierra Club has been really opposed to the current model of free trade. It's not that we're against trade, because we do actually think that you can trade responsibly, but you need to have the right rules in place that could potentially set limits on trade, ensure that trade is legal. Another issue that we follow closely is trade in fossil fuels, and we oppose the idea that countries, you know, should be trading, that the United States should be exporting our natural gas, coal, and oil. We're trying to stop exports of fossil fuels from the United States. But you're right, that is quite counter to the current free trade ideology, which is sort of put forward in agreements like the TPP, which is about removing government regulation rather than ensuring that trade happens responsibly with the proper oversight and with the proper regulations.
And in terms of wildlife destruction, I recall very recently seeing pictures of a vast cache of ivory being destroyed. I'm not sure that it was in China or perhaps it was in Taiwan. Who are the worst actors in this regard? Not so much at the poaching end in Africa, where we're learning now that elephants are endangered, and we're also learning that lions are endangered. So if you're going to stop it, I mean, let's face it, the model for the war on drugs is to go after the drug lords, while the customers here in the United States who fund and continue this problem are largely untouched, and not that they ever get the drug lords to begin with. So is there a similar model going on here that, you know, the focus is on trying to stop the poachers rather than the end users who are fairly easily identified?
Yeah. So I think, you know, clearly, ideally, what we have to do is stop both. For one example, and this has to do with the illegal timber trade, the United States, and this is an example of a good trade policy, has a law in place called the Lacey Act. And it's a law that bans the import to the United States of illegally harvested plants and plant products, and also bans the imports of illegally taken wildlife. So we have to stop the demand and the imports of, you know, illegally harvested timber, wildlife, fish, and then we also, of course, have to address the problem in forest-producing countries or the countries where poaching and other illegal activity is happening. Again, as you increase trade, if you don't have the proper regulations in place, then you're also going to increase illegal trade, which means more wildlife poaching and trade, more unsustainable fisheries management and trade, more trade in illegally harvested timber, which is why it's so critical to actually regulate trade and get these rules right.
So, Ilana Solomon, I recall a few years ago, I can't remember who it was I interviewed, I think it was somebody from either Greenpeace or Rainforest Action, that didn't a group of environmentalists board a ship that was carrying illegally harvested timber to the United States? And I believe the United States charged them with piracy. Do you remember that?
I don't have the specifics on that. I'm sorry.
Right. But I wondered whether that led to the Lacey Act.
No, the Lacey Act was, it's a century-old piece of legislation in 1900. It was amended in 2008 to ban the import of illegally harvested timber.
I see. How robust, then, are the, at least, the laws at this end here in the United States about illegal timber, illegal products from poached wildlife, etc.?
Yeah. Well, I think there are, you know, there are international treaties that the United States has signed on to that prohibit, you know, imports of illegally taken wildlife and forests, and the Lacey Act is a very effective U.S. law that could use additional funding and support to be truly effective and ensure that importers, you know, face the proper penalties, fines, potentially criminal action if they are caught importing illegally harvested timber. And the idea in a trade agreement could be that that type of regulation that exists in the United States, Australia actually has a similar piece of legislation, that countries could be required to take similar action in their domestic circumstances. The problem is that this leaked text has a provision that commits countries to put in place measures that allow it to take action to stop imports of illegal flora and fauna, but does not require them to do so.
Well, just in closing, Ilana Solomon, could this be better addressed, or could it be addressed at a cultural level? In other words, take away the incentive for people in the first place to buy ivory products, or in particular, rhino horns, which are supposedly an aphrodisiac and apparently are not. I mean, why not give these people Viagra instead? I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
I would just say, I think, you know, right now, in the context of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, the most important thing we could do is make sure that, you know, it's done right or it's not done at all. We have no indication that the rules in this agreement are actually going to protect the environment. The most important thing we can do right now is ensure that Congress maintains its ability to have oversight over trade negotiations, to amend, if necessary, trade agreements, to prevent a really flawed pact from coming into place.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Ilana Solomon.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Alana Solomon, who's the director of the Responsible Trade Program at the Sierra Club, where she works to create public support for trade and investment rules that protect the environment and to shed light on the environmental threats posed by our current global trading system. Previously, she was senior policy analyst with ActionAid USA. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the Academy Awards nominations.